Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've all taken bad photos. Everyone knows a photo that they've been in that's just like a horrifying photo where you look miserable and you probably don't look as bad in person as you appear in a photo. I just saw Aaron Rodgers on a practice field for the first time in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. He looks horrible. He looks like he's the Great Gazoo with this helmet on, and he's wearing a white Steelers jersey with these just awful-looking yellow sleeves. But Aaron Rodgers, and he's 41, but Aaron Rodgers looks old. And don't get me wrong, Aaron Rodgers is in incredible shape. But how do you determine, and everyone's, this could be different for everybody, what's something you realize when someone is old? Samter, when you look at someone, what is something that you kind of define, wow, that person could be really old if you're looking at a body part on them?
I mean, either gray hair or wrinkles.
Okay. You're on to something, Stu?
Those were my two, yes.
Okay. It's usually the arms of a person, where you see the wrinkly arms, and then from their arms, even up to their biceps and things like that. And I'm looking at this photo, and his hands, too. Aaron Rodgers, if I just saw a photo of Rodgers' hands and his arms and his biceps in this photo, don't get me wrong, the dude's in tremendous shape, but he's got some old-looking skin there. And I get it. He's 41. He turns 42 in December. He's in shape that we would all love to be in. But I look at Aaron Rodgers right now, and Aaron Rodgers looks like he's showing up to play in a charity football game for old people. That's what it is. So is this going to go well in Pittsburgh this year? You know, could they win their 8-9 games? Yeah, sure. 10 games maybe. Yeah. I think they're a fringe playoff team. But Rodgers looks as if he should retire from the NFL. So that's just the first thought that I had of Aaron Rodgers in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. He didn't look old in a Jets uniform. You know, even at the end in Green Bay, he didn't look old. Now Aaron Rodgers, maybe it's the ayahuasca, who knows. But Aaron Rodgers, he now looks old. And that's what I observed from seeing that one photo, which could just be a bad photo. You know, he's moving, so it could be a bad angle, right? The camera could have been snapped at the wrong time. We've all been there. I've been there. It happens. Right? And I'm not the beacon of good health, and I'm not the beacon of looking great. But Aaron Rodgers looks old. Looks old. A lot older than the last time we saw him. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll get to a little overreaction, proper reaction in just a second. But my man, Backwards Brian, is on the line right now. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I met Brian. He drove up with Moist Pork and Chris. Right, he drove up from North Carolina to Baltimore, linked up with Chris and Moist Pork, and then drove all the way to Babylon, I believe, is where the Marash clan is, and ended up going to Bob's Bar, and he tried wings with blue cheese. He never had blue cheese before in his life. He knows how much of a blue cheese aficionado I am, and he tried blue cheese in front of me, and it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Brian, great to see you again, or great to talk to you again. How you been, my friend?
I'm all right, thank you. So, quick backstory. The reason why I never liked blue cheese so much is because my dad would always put it on his salad, and I just thought it stunk. Maybe as a kid, it left me scarred. I don't know. But so my question for you is, if I was to try to appreciate it more, if I was to go to the grocery store, which brand should I buy? Because I can't get the good stuff like we had on Sunday.
You know, that's a great question. And you would think I should know. I have never went brand-oriented with blue cheese. It's never crossed my mind. I just, anytime I've ever had wings, I just always get whatever blue cheese that they have. And that's the blue cheese that I end up eating and enjoying. I've never had a blue cheese, Brian, where I said to myself, on my wings, like I'm not big, unless if it's blue cheese dressing, I do not like in salad. But if you cut up blue cheese, I do think it's good. But in terms of wings, whatever they put in that cup and they say it's blue cheese, that's what I end up liking with wings.
Okay, well, if you do a little research and you give me your suggestion, I will take that as gospel. But I'm glad to know that you said you do like those wings and you approve of the pizza we had. Amazing pizza. Being from North Carolina, I've never had pizza that good.
Yeah, no, that pizza was good, and appreciate it, Brian, and good to finally meet you, and thanks for the phone call. See, it's so funny when you get people that don't live in New York. The pizza that was brought to Bob's Bar was good pizza. It wasn't great pizza. It was good. But if you get good New York pizza, especially Long Island pizza too, to out-of-towners, they think it's the greatest thing in the world. But they had a buffalo chicken slice that was very good. They also had pepperoni. They had cheese. They had sausage. It was good pizza. But is it a top 5 or 10 pizza that I've ever had? Obviously not. But it's always funny when you get people that aren't from New York and they get any type of New York pizza. They're like, oh my God, this is the greatest stuff ever. I will say, though, I did feel I did a very nice thing. Our buddy Chris, who was listening, probably had a few too many, for being honest. Right? He was enjoying himself. We were all enjoying ourselves. And Chris was pouring blue cheese onto the buffalo chicken pizza. I don't know why. And I'm a blue cheese aficionado. Just blue cheese for wings for me is what I like. When I have a buffalo chicken slice, I'm not looking to just devour that slice of pizza with blue cheese. But I'm sitting next to Chris, and he's talking about how much he likes the show, right, and all that. And we're having a good conversation. And I see him eating this buffalo chicken slice. And this slice is marinated in blue cheese at this point. And the blue cheese starts falling off the pizza. And he's wearing flip-flops. And the blue cheese is just falling on his ankle and is dripping down onto his foot. And he was still eating the pizza and he's still having the conversation. He knew he had blue cheese there. And I go, you know what, Chris? I'm going to give you some napkins. Here you go. And I was giving the listeners napkins left and right. Even Brian, when he tried the blue cheese, Brian has a big beard. The blue cheese and the pizza and the sauce and the pizza and then the wings. It was all over his beard. I go, Brian, you need a napkin. So I was basically handing out napkins as if it was a charitable duty at Bob's Bar. I was the hygiene to Bob's Bar, which is a scary, scary, scary thought. No, but it was a great time. Definitely was. I'll tell you, you know who looks a little bit like Aaron Rodgers?
Badlands Booker?
No. No. Badlands Booker, though, is a legend. He chugged a strawberry Fanta. It was 2 liters or something like that. In a snap of a finger. And then I was instigating. I go, because last time he belched in Mraz's face. So I go, oh, let's run it back. Belch in Mraz's face. And he belched in Mraz's face again. And it was a horrifying belch that Mraz almost threw up. And you just see this photo that was taken by this guy, Sean, who's a great listener to the show, big Clemson fan. And Sean was so disgusted by the belch, he started to spit. And this, like, long, drooling spit just fell out of Mraz's mouth. And I kid you not, this must have been 14 or 15 inches of just spit. And it was caught on camera. It was the largest loogie that I've ever seen someone hawk from one Sean Mraz. It was actually impressive. But anyway, this guy, Sean, who was taking great photos, and we took a photo together and all that stuff, he looks a little bit like Aaron Rodgers. He looks a, now this guy is jacked, like in shape, blah, blah, blah. He, a power lifter, he looks a little Zen version of Aaron Rodgers. And I've had a few people point that out to me on social media. Alrighty, anyway, let's get to a little overreaction, proper reaction. We get to that right now.
Another football week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
A lot of tweets coming in, Brian, if you're still listening on the Blue Cheese. Ludat31, Rudy's Blue Cheese out of Buffalo is the greatest blue cheese known to man. Mr. Brightside. The Killers, you think? He says, Zach, the best blue cheese is Neil Yard Stilton, dead at Whole Foods, just blocks from where you are now. So there you go. I should have a blue cheese endorsement deal. It's kind of pathetic that I don't. All righty, Stu, what do we got cooking?
All right, so as mandatory minicamps begin around the league, three top defensive ends are looking for new deals. In Pittsburgh, T.J. Watt has chosen not to show up, as has Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati, though Micah Parsons has arrived at Cowboys minicamp. Overreaction or proper reaction, Micah Parsons should get a deal before Watt and Hendrickson.
So Trey Hendrickson is 30 years old, and T.J. Watt, I believe, is 30 years old as well. And you look at Micah Parsons, he's a lot younger because he's been in the league for a shorter period of time. He's 26. So this is not me saying that Micah Parsons is definitely the better player over T.J. Watt because he's not, or that he's better than Trey Hendrickson, right? I'm not putting in pecking order on who's the best player. But I can maybe understand a little bit of the skepticism by the Bengals and the Steelers, even though I would give those guys new deals. But I look at Micah Parsons, he's 26. Dak Prescott got taken care of. CeeDee Lamb's got taken care of. And also, we'll get to Brian Schottenheimer later. Basically, guarantee that this thing was going to be getting done over a TikTok trend, which there's more on that later. But Micah should get a deal before Watt and Hendrickson because of the age of Micah being younger. Absolutely. So I think there's less to kind of disagree here with. It should be a 4 or 5 year deal. We know what the money is. That to me is a proper reaction, especially when he's 26.
Now, another camp no-show is Commanders star receiver Terry McLaurin, who is entering the final year of his deal. Now, Scary Terry is coming off of his fifth straight 1,000-yard season, making a second Pro Bowl and second team All-Pro. Overreaction or proper reaction, McLaurin is a top 10 receiver in the NFL.
So my gut first thought would say, yes, he is. But you could think that, and then you put the names on the sheet, and I'm like, ooh, I don't know. So let's do that. Buffalo doesn't have a top 10 wide receiver right now. Miami, would I rather have Tyreek Hill or Terry McLaurin? Even though Tyreek Hill is a jackass, I'd rather have Tyreek Hill. Garrett Wilson or Terry McLaurin? Right now, I'd rather have Terry McLaurin, even though I think Garrett Wilson has a higher ceiling. Stephon Diggs or Terry McLaurin? I clearly rather have Terry McLaurin. The Ravens, Hollywood, who's the guy that they just drafted a few years ago? I'm a blanket on
Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers.
Rashad Bateman.
Zay Flowers is what I was thinking of.
DeAndre Hopkins is there too.
Yeah, none of those guys I'd rather have over Terry McLaurin. DK Metcalf or Terry McLaurin? I think I'd slightly rather have DK Metcalf. Jamar Chase or Terry McLaurin? I'd rather have Jamar Chase. And let's just go number ones for now. Just number ones.
Okay, I mean, T. Higgins still counts.
Yeah, but he's not number one. I'm just trying to do this just for the sake of the exercise. Cleveland, no. I'd rather have Terry McLaurin over Jerry Jeudy. Nico Collins or Terry McLaurin? I'd rather have Nico Collins. Michael Pittman or Terry McLaurin? I'd rather have Terry McLaurin. Jaguars, Brian Thomas Jr. or Terry McLaurin? It's only 1 year. Brian Thomas Jr. in the league. I'd rather have him. Tennessee, you could forget about it. Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin. I'd rather have Terry McLaurin. Chiefs, no true number one wide receiver. Chargers, Ladd McConkey or Terry McLaurin. I'd rather have Terry McLaurin. Broncos, no one there. Raiders, no one there. Eagles, A.J. Brown. Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb. Giants, I'd rather have Malik Nabers. Amon-Ra St. Brown, rather have Amon-Ra St. Brown. Justin Jefferson, rather have Justin Jefferson. Terry McLaurin would be the number one on the Packers. Bears, DJ Moore, Terry McLaurin, splitting hairs. I think you're splitting hairs there. I'd rather have Mike Evans and Terry McLaurin. I'm at 11 right now. So I didn't even get to Puka Nacua yet, who I'd rather have over Terry McLaurin.
So Drake London, even?
I'd rather have Terry McLaurin over Drake. I'm a big Drake London fan, but I'd rather have him. So the point I'm getting at is that Terry McLaurin is a phenomenal wide receiver. And he's someone that's easy to root for. But I just named 11 or 12 guys, and even if you disagree with two of them, right, we didn't even get through the entire league yet. It shows you how deep we are at the wide receiver position. So overreaction, proper reaction, McLaurin is a top 10 receiver in the NFL. I think most people stand to do what I just did. Yeah, he is, but then when you actually get to the list, you go, oh, it's not a slight on him, but there's 10 guys in the league that are better. So I would go overreaction on that one.
All right, Kirk Cousins showed up at Falcons minicamp despite the team turning to Michael Penix Jr. this season. Now, barring a Penix injury, the 37-year-old Cousins will make nearly $28 million this year to sit on the bench. Overreaction or proper reaction, Kirk Cousins will be on a different team by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think something at some point will lead to him being on a new team. So I will go proper reaction on that Cousins will be on a different team by the end of the year. I believe so.
The Jaguars are in limbo right now, despite adding Travis Hunter in the draft. And all eyes are on Trevor Lawrence. Now, the former number one overall pick is in the second year of his massive five-year, $275 million extension, but was seen wearing a sleeve on his throwing arm at camp already due to, quote, general soreness. Overreaction or proper reaction, Trevor Lawrence is facing the most pressure of any AFC quarterback this year.
So there's pressure on Joe Burrow, there's pressure on Josh Allen, there's pressure on Lamar Jackson to go win a Super Bowl. But those guys are going to be starting for their team next year because they're three of the top five quarterbacks or three of the top four quarterbacks in the NFL. So I'm going to exclude those guys. You can determine pressure in different ways. There's pressure on Justin Fields, right? There is pressure on Aaron Rodgers. There's pressure on whoever gets a starting job with the Cleveland Browns. There's pressure on Tua Tagovailoa. There's pressure on Anthony Richardson, but there's not a great belief in Anthony Richardson. You know what? There's also a lot of pressure on Justin Herbert. It's either Herbert or Lawrence. That's what it is. And I think more highly of Herbert than Lawrence. So now it's another new coach there. I'm going to say that Lawrence is facing the most pressure of any AFC quarterback this year. I think that's a proper reaction.
Now, we are still a few months away from most of the fantasy football drafts that will be going on, but ESPN fantasy expert Mike Clay released his top 50 players list. Leading the way is Ja'Marr Chase at number one, followed by Bijan Robinson, Justin Jefferson, Saquon Barkley, and Jahmyr Gibbs, rounding out the top five. Overreaction or proper reaction, if you had the number one pick in your draft, you would take Ja'Marr Chase.
I actually think that's a proper reaction. And it shows you how much of a passing league that it is right now that you wouldn't go running back in a fantasy football draft. McCaffrey injury concern. Saquon, is he going to be as good as he was last year? Derrick Henry, we know, is a force. You mentioned Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs as well. Definitely a possibility. Here's what I know with the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to throw. They're going to score. And they're going to have a lot of high-octane offensive games because the defense isn't going to be able to catch up. So I actually think that's a proper reaction.
CBS Sports released a list ranking the 25 most dynamic college football players since 2000, and to no surprise, Reggie Bush was first. However, the rest of the top five could be questioned, with number two being Cam Newton, number three Johnny Manziel, number four Lamar Jackson, number five Vince Young, and number six Travis Hunter. Overreaction or proper reaction, two-way star Travis Hunter should be higher on the list.
So Reggie Bush is clearly number one. Cam being two, Heisman National Championship, no problem. Johnny Manziel has a Heisman, but he played in the SEC. No offense to Colorado and Travis Hunter, but that's the Big 12. Lamar Jackson, I saw him in person in college. He was filthy. Filthy. And I got no problem with Vince Young. Played in one of the most memorable games of all time and won a national championship. I'm good with Travis Hunter at six. I am. Travis Hunter is a star. I thought that Ashton Gentry should have won the Heisman Trophy over Travis Hunter, but Travis Hunter did win the Heisman Trophy, and I think you're splitting hairs there. And what he did was so ridiculous, but I can't crush this list. I think him being at six is fair. It's appropriate. So when you ask me two-way star, Hunter should be higher on this list, I'll go overreaction there.
The one thing I will say, though, there of those six, only one of them did not win a Heisman, and that's Vince Young.
Yeah. But Vince Young also won a national championship.
This is true.
And Vince Young played in the maybe the most memorable college football game of all time up against USC. you know, with when USC was USC with Leinart and Reggie Bush, not what USC has become with stinking Lincoln Riley. All right, we continue, though.
All right, last one now. Travis Hunter's former coach at Colorado, Coach Prime, has been noticeably absent from the Boulder campus as the school's annual summer camps get underway. But it turns out Deion is dealing with another health issue, and his son Deion Sanders Jr. says Prime is, quote, feeling well. Now, we all remember Deion losing two toes after blood clots and also missing Pac-12 media days in 2023 with more blood clot issues. Overreaction or proper reaction, Coach Prime will retire from coaching in the next 5 years.
So we don't really know what's going on, and well wishes to Coach Prime. So it's kind of an uncomfortable conversation to speculate on how much longer he's going to coach. Even before knowing this health stuff, I would have said that this is a proper reaction. I don't know how long he's going to do this. I do think there's some fulfillment out there for him to do it without Shador and without Travis Hunter, and he has that run here. Do I think Coach Prime, though, is going to continue to... I hope he does, but he's going to coach five more years? I think that's a lot. I do. So he'll retire from coaching in the next 5 years. I would have said that before this news today, and it's still ambiguous. Nothing but the best to Coach Prime, but I would say proper reaction. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, Stu, are you familiar up until this Micah Parsons video went viral of the I'm just calling to say goodnight TikTok trend?
Yes, I have seen. I've seen a bunch of these videos the past week or so.
Samter, now, Stu, how are you, 33, Stu?
33, yes.
33? Samter, you are...
73.
No. You told me your age recently. 48?
Not quite, but not far off. 45.
45. I was going to say, I didn't think you were 48. For some reason, I don't know why I thought you said that your 50th birthday. We were talking of like a milestone birthdays. Maybe it was with my buddy, David Immerman, who plays guitar for Avril Lavigne, and we were talking about milestone birthdays and how we could get you a gift or something like that. Maybe that's why I thought. I always thought that you were younger than what your age
is. My 45th was in March, right after the Super Bowl. So it's possible we were talking about 45 being a milestone and me saying, I never thought 45 was a milestone.
No, 50 would be a milestone. Usually by increments of once you get past 21, then I usually think the next milestone birthday is 30. And then afterwards, it's okay, you go by fives then. Not that 35 is a major milestone, but kind of some recognition. And 40 is the major milestone. Then 45 is like, okay, nice little recognition. 50, another major milestone. 55, all right, nice, double nickels. Okay, good. And then 60, all right, major milestone. So that's how it kind of goes. So maybe that was all 45, and I was like, that's not enough of a milestone. We'll wait to see if we're still talking when we're 50.
And what's the age, and not to get too sidetracked, but what's the age where you're officially old? Is 50 old, or are you middle-aged? Is 60 officially old? What's the official number of old?
I don't know. That's a great question. Because you are older. I wouldn't call you old. I don't look at you, stand there, and go, ugh, he's old.
Like Tiki just turned 50. He's not old.
No. Tiki also looks like he could still play in the NFL. Would it be 65? If you're at 65, then that's the, you're moving in, isn't that senior citizen territory, right? You turn 65, you technically become a senior citizen. Now there's a lot of people that are 65 that look young. Oh, you know what? Let's ask the eldest statesman on the show. And that is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. How old are you, Ack?
You're calling me old again? I'm not telling you how old I am.
Well, you're the oldest person on the show.
Yes.
You're not 48, right?
No.
Oh, 45. How old are you again, Samter? Sorry. Now, maybe I'm old. My memory's going.
I'm 45.
Yeah. You are not 45.
I'm older than that. Yeah.
You're 55, Ack?
A little more.
60.
No.
I was going to say, I didn't think you were 60. No. He's a little more than that. 58.
No.
57.
Close.
56.
Yeah, getting there. Almost 57.
Okay. So... I wouldn't say that Ack is you're older. I wouldn't call you old. What is the age to you when you were old?
You know, Jody McDonald once told me this, and this is what I've gone by. You're not old until, as long as there's somebody still playing professional sports that's older than you. So Jeff Fiegels was the guy that made me old. He retired. I think he was 44.
Gotcha.
So like if you were like a Chris Chelios guy who played until he was 47 or Julio Franco, you're in good
right
shape.
With Julio,
yeah. Nolan Ryan was also another guy. So Jeff Fiegel's the guy that made me old.
Now I love Jody McDonald. So maybe I was gonna say 65 is officially old. Now you said Jody McDonald. I do think old, but Jody, I just looked at Wikipedia. He's only 63.
Yes.
So maybe he's not old.
No.
Yeah.
But Jody was the one who told me you're not old as long as there's still somebody playing professional sports older than you.
Okay.
Not good news for Samter.
Yeah.
Well, we gotta figure out Rich Hill.
Jake Mountain.
Rich Hill keeps signing contracts.
Are you, so Samter, let me ask you a question. Were you familiar with this, I'm just calling this say goodnight trend before you saw it with Micah Parsons?
Say it again.
So you were not? Were you familiar with before the Micah Parsons?
No, I was just reading up about the oldest active professional athlete. It looks like Jaromir Jagr hasn't officially retired. He's 53.
That doesn't count.
So I'm not old yet, Jagr.
He has not played in the NHL in a long, long time. I don't want to hear about all these other leagues and everything.
How about Kelly Slater surfing, 53 years old?
Yeah, is that really?
Rich Hill is 45, so.
Oh, 40. Okay, so you got hope. Got hope, Samter.
Hope. But yes, I didn't know of the trend.
Okay.
Hence now, why I love this video of Micah.
Do you have any idea what happened with Micah Parsons recently?
No, I don't know.
If I called you back at night and just called you out of the blue and said, hey, I'm just calling to say goodnight, would you think anything of it?
Be out of character. I would be like, why? Why are you doing? All right, what do you want? Leave me alone.
So it is a TikTok trend. That's what it is, pretty much girls want their boyfriends to call and call their guy friends and say, hey, I'm calling to just say goodnight. So the NFL has kind of taken this by storm. And this is what happened when Micah Parsons was doing this TikTok trend that clearly Brian Schottenheimer had no clue about. This is how it sounded on Micah Parsons' Twitter.
What up, buddy?
What up, coach?
What you doing, man? You all right?
Yeah, I just wanted to say goodnight.
Okay. Oh, I love that, bro. What's going on? Y'all good?
Hell yeah. You know, I mean, I just feel like, you know, it's player to coach, just checking in on you, mental, say goodnight, hope fans well, see you Monday, you know, excited about next week, just a good night.
Well, good, man. Well, hey, look, I know this is weird for everybody, man, but look, you're handling everything the right way, bro, and this thing's going to get worked out, and I'm thrilled to see where we take this thing, man. We're building something special, and you're going to be a huge part of it, bro.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah, Shotty. Take a shotty from me when you got a chance, man.
Hey, I'm drinking a shotty right now, man. Get ready to turn in for the night, brother.
Hell yeah.
Hey, I appreciate the call, man, for real. And I look forward to seeing you Monday, and it's going to be a great week.
Hell yeah.
If I'm Brian Schottenheimer, I'd actually be annoyed. This is a TikTok trend. You know, Cowboys fans probably have to take a few shotties during this season, if we're being honest. But here you have a coach trying to reassure his player that everything's going to be fine. It's like a nice, sweet moment. But you basically just tipped the Cowboys' hand. And now the whole world knows it. Now, we all know that this deal's eventually going to get done with Micah Parsons. It just shows you the jackassery and the drama that the Cowboys like to put us all through. Where it's Jerry doesn't want to get this deal done yet because he wants to just suck the entire drama out of this story and just keep on having it go and go and go and go and go and go until the drama just doesn't stop, and then eventually they have to give him a new contract. But geez, you have a nice, sweet little TikTok trend. And Brian Schottenheimer, it would almost be as if I called Ack and I said, hey, I'm just calling to say goodnight. And Ack would be like, oh, that's real nice of you.
I keep my phone on do not disturb.
And there's Brian Schottenheimer just thinking his player's being nice. And it's all for a social media trend. The Cowboys. The gift that keeps on giving. All righty. Michael Rubin's in the building. He'll either be joining us next segment or at the top of the hour at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Let's get an update in first. Here's Zach. All righty. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. not available in all states. I'm kind of looking here for directions. As I see Michael Rubin is standing to the left, are we going to do him here? Are we going to talk to him at 5 p.m. Eastern time? 5? Is that the dealio? 5 o'clock? All right, we'll do Michael Rubin in studio at 5 o'clock. He's in the building. I saw he was right there. I thought that was like the awkward moment where maybe he's going to rush in, and I didn't want to toss the news brief and then have to go to Michael Rubin and then get to news brief later. So sometimes, you know, I'm like just Peyton Manning on this show. Omaha! All right, let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, let's hear from Dan Morgan. He was on the Rich Eisen Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network, and this was Dan Morgan on benching Bryce Young last year.
I thought that was a great move by him, and, you know, it's what was best for the organization. And, you know, Bryce, you know, he took it running. It gave him a chance to sit back, watch Andy Dalton out there in the huddle, run the huddle, and just take a step back and just, you know, take a deep breath, relax a little bit, and just kind of gather his thoughts. Because we knew he was going to come back at some point, and we knew he was going to play good. So I knew that this wasn't going to keep him down for long.
You know, it's kind of funny. We're in a world where it's either all or nothing. And after year one, it was Bryce Young's a zero. Then last year, oh, yeah, he's back. But he played better. Is he worthy of a number one pick? That's still to be determined. Is he going to be someone that could be a franchise quarterback in this league? That's still to be determined. It was nice. It was good. It was a feel-good story seeing him the way that he played down the stretch, especially because when he got benched, I thought that was it for him. But this is an enormous year for Bryce Young. And he's kind of flown under the radar this offseason just because of the fact that he played well at the end of the season. I got to see more from Bryce Young, and we got to see him do it for a full season. Here is Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter makes it clear on the ESPN that Aaron Rodgers wasn't the Steelers' first option at the quarterback position.
This was the third option for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were in on Matthew Stafford and couldn't get done a trade. They tried to re-sign Justin Fields. He opted to go to the New York Jets, where he will meet Aaron Rodgers on opening day. And after they couldn't get a trade done for Stafford and couldn't get Fields re-signed, they pivoted to Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers right now was their third choice, their best choice right now, but their third choice.
Matthew Stafford or Aaron Rodgers? Stu, who would you rather have this season?
Matthew Stafford.
Samter?
Stafford.
All righty. Justin Fields or Aaron Rodgers? Who would you rather have for this season?
I would rather have Aaron Rodgers.
Samter?
Fields, 100%.
Why?
Because I've seen what Aaron Rodgers does to a franchise, and like we've said multiple times, he's not the guy he used to be. And so I'd rather have at least a young guy with a potential ceiling who's not going to be a locker room monster and a franchise culture killer. I'd rather have Justin Fields see what he can do, and if he sucks, then you move on the next year.
So there's some I agree with you, some I disagree with you, Samter, but I will actually say that I'd rather have Justin Fields over Aaron Rodgers, and it has nothing to do with me thinking that Justin Fields is the better quarterback. It's because what you said, he's younger. And if I'm the Steelers, would you rather go to the well with Aaron Rodgers this year where it's 1 year and that's it, or you go to the well with Justin Fields where Justin Fields still has to prove it? Justin Fields still needs to show you that he can be a quarterback in this league. But if it's a one-year experiment, do I think the win total is that much different with Aaron Rodgers or Justin Fields this year? No, I don't. That's why I'd rather try to go with the younger quarterback. Here is Mark Murphy on the Packers releasing Jaire Alexander.
Well, first of all, he's been a great player for us. Obviously, elite talent, and you know, unfortunately, just injured a lot. Kind of unfortunately, that's a big part of our game. I feel pretty good, and the reality is, for like the last 4 years, Jaire's about half of the games he's been able to play. So. And kind of, we've been used to it.
They had to be at some golf tournament. You saw a few golf. You heard a few golf balls in the background. Sounded like those shots were getting hit pretty good, like right down the fairway, 250 yards. Some really good shots when I listened to that answer. Some really good shotties right there. But I think this is clear. The player wasn't that healthy. The player became a little bit of a malcontent in the locker room, and they didn't think the juice was worth the squeeze anymore. Now, could he go somewhere in a one-year proven environment and have a monster year? Absolutely. I think Jaire Alexander is still a very good player. I think the Packers knew that this long-term deal wasn't getting done, so they said, we don't want this to get real nasty, so we'll just release him right now. Here is Drake May on entering his second season in the National Football League.
I think it's an opportunity for me, take a jump. I think kind of from last year being a rookie, trying to come in here and kind of earn my stripe, earn my keep, just kind of, through hard work. And I think kind of this year is, same approach. You got new guys in here, new staff, kind of got to keep on getting to know everybody, kind of, show my work ethic. And then kind of from there, as the season comes around, try to take a next step of leadership and leading the offense and hopefully leading this football team.
Let's go to Amon-Ra St. Brown. This was courtesy of Part of My Take on Barstool Sports. He grew up kissing his family on the lips. Let's listen up.
I kissed my dad on the lips growing up until I got to high school.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But then in high school, I think a few times I kissed him on the lips. Like when I graduated, I think when I committed. A lot of people think it's weird. I kissed my mom on the lips too. I kissed my brothers on the lips when I was growing up. My dad made us do it, so we'd get in fights. And then after the fight was over, he would make us kiss each other on the lips.
That's a good way to defuse it.
You can't stay mad at somebody after you kiss them on the lips.
That's awesome.
It's not a thing, I think, in America, really, but I mean, Germany, it's kind of normal.
Yeah.
So it was normal for me growing up.
I'm going to be honest. Like 4 or 5, I don't think that is that crazy, that big of a deal. I just start to get to 7, 8, then eventually middle school. It's a little bit weird. Like, you're telling me if your daughter, Samter, who's 2.5, like, pecks you on the lips, that's never happened before?
Not, like, intentionally. Sometimes I'll go to kiss her on the cheek and, like, her face moves.
Yeah, you're going to the cheek first.
Yeah, but it's weird. Listen, if she's, like, being playful and she kind of runs, sure, but, like, I wouldn't want it or prefer it. To make that your go-to way to, like, show affection to your family is just weird.
To make it the punishment, I think, is hilarious.
That's actually very funny.
You fight your brother, kiss him on the lips. I think that's hysterical. Stu, your thoughts on this situation?
Yeah, to me, it's a little weird. I'm more with you, Zach. I think if it's, like, a baby or young child, it's not weird. But once you get older, yeah, not for me.
All righty. Let's go to Brian Windhorse. Brian Windhorse and the possibility of Jason Kidd and the New York Knicks on the ESPN.
Yeah, the way I would describe this is there's mutual intrigue on both sides. And also, I know there's this whole thing about asking for permission. You don't ask for permission to hire another team's coach. When you ask, you're going to hire them. So essentially, when the Knicks express interest, the ball will be in the Mavericks' court. And they have 3 options as I see it. One, they can just say, no, thank you very much. Jason, we'll see you in the fall. Look forward to the season. Look forward to Cooper Flagg. They can try to make Jason Kidd have zero interest in the Knicks, possibly with a new contract. They did just give him an extension last year. Or they can negotiate a trade. And we have seen a handful of trades of coaches over the last 15 to 18 years, including Jason Kidd being traded from the Brooklyn Nets to the Milwaukee Bucks for 2 second-round picks 11 years ago. So it's not like Jason Kidd hasn't been in this situation before.
I think it's possible. I still think Johnny Bryant's going to be the coach. Let's go to Sam Bennett on a 4-1 goal. Let's hear how it sounded on the Panthers radio network as the Florida Panthers just destroyed and embarrassed, and really the Oilers embarrassed themselves last night, the Edmonton Oilers.
A breakaway, Luostarinen hands it on, Bennett in, Bennett scores! Top shelf, and the Panthers take a 4-1 lead with 12:34 to go here in the second. What a shift for playoff Sam! The Panthers lead by a trio!
That game was at 2-0. And then it got to 2-1, and then a minute something after, they made it 3-1, and then shortly after that, you heard that goal to make it 4-1. Let's go to Aaron Rodgers. Why sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think it starts with Mike Tomlin. I mean, I've been a fan of his for a long time. There's a few iconic franchises in the NFL. I played for one of them for 18 years. This is another one of those. A lot of injuries in my life.
All righty. Let's hear, why did you sign now? It was a long wait. What made the early part of June be why you said, okay, I'll come on in here?
I was dealing with a lot of things in my personal life. Some things improved a little bit where I felt like I could fully be all in here with the guys. Had a great conversation with Mike throughout the entire process and Omar, but it's good to get that done and get behind us.
And finally, let's hear from Aaron Rodgers and why does he want to keep on playing football at the age of 41?
I don't need it. For my ego, I don't need it to keep playing. A lot of decisions that I've made over my career and life from strictly the ego, even if they turn out well, are always unfulfilling. But the decisions made from the soul are usually pretty fulfilling. So this was a decision that was best for my soul.
Oh,
and I felt like being here with Coach T And the guys they got here and the opportunity here was the best for me, and I'm excited to be here.
It was best for his soul. That's one way to put it. And that is Aaron Rodgers being a different thinker. I think what the truth is, he didn't want his career to end in such embarrassing fashion as it ended with the Jets, so he's chasing that. He's not playing to win a Super Bowl anymore, let's be real, folks. And the Steelers aren't in position to win a Super Bowl this year. I said this the day he announced the signing, or the day the signing was announced, that for this to not be a giant waste of time, the Steelers not only have to make the playoffs this year, they have to win a playoff game. If they win a playoff game, it was worth it. They haven't done so since 2016. If this is just, all right, status quo, you show up, you go 8 to 11 wins or something in Pittsburgh, and you're out in the first round, was it worth it? Was this song and dance worth it? Absolutely not. I'll play you one more, though. And this is actually Myles Garrett giving his reaction to Aaron Rodgers joining the AFC North.
What do I think about it?
Facing twice a year.
I think it's a good opportunity to put him in the graveyard.
So, yeah, you're going to go after him. You're going to try to hit him. But Myles Garrett, I know that he does that whole bit with put him in the graveyard and everything. You're playing the Cleveland Browns. All right. You talked a big game this offseason. You sat there, I want to go win a Super Bowl. And you took the money. That's your right. You're allowed to take the money. I never fault the player for taking the money. But when you say that you wanted to go to a Super Bowl contender and then you just take that deal with the Cleveland Browns, it's okay. You're playing. You're still one of the best players in the league. Still maybe the best defensive player in the league. It vacillates between you and TJ Watt. And now TJ Watt wants out of town. If I'm TJ Watt and he's in a better situation in Pittsburgh than you are in Cleveland, I would still force a trade because TJ Watt's on a Super Bowl contender. But you look at this whole thing. All right, you hear that. It's all nice. All right, you're going to hit probably Aaron Rodgers a few times this season. But what are you playing for? Because right now we know the Cleveland Browns, forget about potentially trying to win a playoff game. They're nowhere close to even making the playoffs. So that's going to be a circus in Cleveland this year. And I just want to see Shador play. Whenever it happens, I want to see Shador play. But until Shador gets on the field, it's going to be a circus. And then when he does get on the field, if he doesn't play well, ooh, then it's going to be fascinating. And if he does play well, oh, that's going to be really fun. It really will be. All righty, that's a news brief. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to have year two of the Fanatics Fest coming up in 2 weeks. And Michael Rubin is the CEO of Fanatics. He obviously has an incredible story. You see him all over the sports world. And he has relationships with many stars in not only the NFL, the NBA, all of sports, and also celebrities as well. It's a who's who's of guests. Going to Fanatics Fest. We'll find out more about Fanatics Fest when we do return, and we'll hear more about the life of Michael Rubin as he joins us in studio on the Zach Gelb Show after these short messages.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.